Parsha begins, Parsha's bow, Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph, Ayomer Hashem al Moshe Boel Paro. Hashem says to Moshe, come to Paro. Ani echbadti eslibo v'eslev avadav l'man shisi ososa ela b'kirbo. Because I'm going to harden his heart and the heart of his servants in order that I should place my signs within him. I should place my signs, and presumably he's referring to the makos, to the plagues that are still yet to come. Last week's parasha, we saw that seven plagues had been meted out on the Mitzrayim, and now we have three more to come: Makas Arba, Makas Choshech, and of course Makas Bechoros. Second pasuk says, "L'makas Saper, Vozne Vincha Uven Vincha, Es Hashem Salalti B'Mitzrayim Es Asosai Shor Samti Bam V'Yidatem Ki Ani Hashem." And I'm going to do this in order so that you should tell over the story, the Sipur, in the ears of your children and your grandchildren. That which I played and amused myself with the Egyptians in Mitzrayim, the Asotosai Shasam Timam, and my letters and my signs that I placed in them, V'idatem Kian Hashem, and you should know that I am Hashem. The Belzer Rebbe asked the question. There's a number of questions we're going to ask, but the Belzer Rebbe wants to know. We're talking about the mitzvah, apparently, of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So first of all, we're going to ask, why is it that we find more than any other place in the entire Sipur, in the entire Haggadah of Parsha Shmos Va'eran Bo, that the mitzvah of Sipur, both to the children and to the grandchildren, is mentioned dafke here in the beginning of Makas Arba? Well, the Makas Arba Ba'ozne, but we have Yigadat al-Vincha, but to say that the Makas Arba Ba'ozne Vincha Uven Vincha, it's not just your children, it's your grandchildren. Happens to me, this is a halachic question as well. If someone became the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim by telling over the story to their grandchildren, generally we assume, at least in certain areas of halacha, that banim and bnei banim have the same status. Bnei banim harei hang to banim. Imagine a situation, it's not so far-fetched that someone can have their grandchildren with them for the Seder without their children. So the question is, would they be became the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim by telling it over to the grandchildren? So it sounds from this pasuk, it's a no-brainer. Yes, l'matzavar ba'oznei vincha uven vincha. You make the mitzvah by telling it over to your grandchildren as well. That's certainly good news for some of us who are here and have that great zechus of having grandchildren at their siddur. They can be making the mitzvah by vincha and ven vincha. The Rebbe wants to know the last words of the pasuk says, "V'yidatem ki ani Hashem." When you tell over the story to your children and your grandchildren, you should know that I am Hashem. He's asked the question, it really should have said, V'yadu ki ani Hashem. They should know. You're telling over the story to the grandchildren. They should know. You tell it over to them so that they should know ki ani Hashem. And he gives the answer that we're all familiar with, and that is that, to say it in my own language, that if a person wants to inspire others, they have to be inspired themselves. You can't talk to others about emunah, bitachon, yedias Hashem, unless you believe in it. Rabbi gets up to speak. If he doesn't believe what he's saying, there's very little chance that it's going to have an impact on the people that are sitting in the shul. If someone gets up to give a speech and he's not convinced at all of what it is that he's telling over, difficult chance that anyone's going to be inspired. The person has to internally really be inspired by the words that they're saying in order to be able to inspire others. So v'yidatem, the Rebbe explains, you have to know that there's Hashem. If you want to tell it over to your children, your grandchildren, make sure that you believe it yourself. Make sure that you've learned a little bit. You can't just walk into the Seder, you know, I fly without preparing. You have to be inspired. You have to be learning yourself. You yourself believe in the one God and the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then you can give it over to your children and to your grandchildren. But what's interesting, even more interesting, we're going to relate this in a moment, is that these first two psukim, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Boel Paro. And then it says, L'matas Arba Bozneh Bincha. And then Moshe and Aaron go to Paro, and they say to him, Kor Mar Hashem Elokeirim, so did Hashem, the God of the Jews, Admosai said, Admosa me'anta le'anos miponai, shalach hamei v'yavduni. Until how long are you going to refuse from humbling yourself in front of me? Let my people go, and they will be able to serve me. Ki im ma'in atol shalach esami, if you continuously and continue to not allow my nation to leave, I'm going to bring Arba Bigvulecha. We have a few questions. One, why is Dafka this Makkah, the Makkah where we're going to focus on the Sipur, Yitzias Mitzrayim, not just to the Bincha, but to the Ben Bincha, to the grandchildren? And number two, we find something funny that we don't find by the other Makos, and that is that Moshe and Aaron come to Paro and they tell him that if you don't send my people, I'm going to bring Arba B'Gvulecha. I'm going to bring Arba B'Gvulecha. Where did they get that from? Where does it say that Hashem told him to bring Arba? It doesn't say that. Hashem says to Moshe, come to Paro, I'm going to place my Makos within him, and then you should tell it over to your children, your grandchildren, and you should know that I am Hashem. Make sure you're inspired yourself, like the Rebbe. He doesn't say that you should bring the Makos Arba. He doesn't say it the Chalal. And then Moshe goes along and says, by the way, if you don't bring them, and they maybe Machar Arba B'Gvulecha. I want to share with you a nice Dvar Torah that was told over by a Makubal, a famous Makubal, probably the time of the Tosfos Yom Tov. I'm going to tell you, Tosfos Yom Tov lived during a very, very difficult time of Jewish history. Tosfos Yom Tov lived in the mid-1600s. I think Tosfos Yom Tov died probably in the 1660s. And 1648, 1649 was what we call Tach V'Tat, the Chmelnytsky pogroms. And they wiped out and killed and destroyed so many Jewish communities in the Ukraine, in Europe. And they left Ein Bayis Asher, this is this week's parsha, Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shamei. So it was a very difficult time. And one of the great tzaddikim that were killed by these terrible rishayim was Rav Shimshon Ashterpaler. Shimshon Ashterpaler tells over at Dvar Torah, that's often told over at the beginning of Parshas Bo, that says as follows. All the mefarshim asked the following question. Why does it say Bo al Paro, not Lech al Paro? Yomar Shavu Moshe, Lech al Paro, go to Paro. Lech al Paro, not Bo al Paro. Bo is always a term that's used when you're going from the outside to the inside. When you're doing something, if you're in the public eye and then you come back into the private eye, that's always a term of bow. That's the Lashon Bia for intimacy is because you're doing something that's private. So that's why the Lashon bow is used, Bia is used. If you're doing something that's, if you're going out from your home and you're going out to your job, that's not called Bia, that's called Halicha, that's called going out. Lech Lecha, Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha, leave your land. That's why it's called the Lashon Halicha. Just by the way, as an aside, very important aside, it's a good piece of information to know. And we've discussed this. I'm not sure how long ago we've discussed this. In some shiur in the last few years, it could be we discussed it last week. I don't remember, but I don't think so. That is that, you know, the parshan Vayishlach, because I'll say in the Gemara and Shabbos, that when it says that that Reuven slept with Bila, the Pelegish Aviv, they say he didn't really sleep with her. He just changed the beds. It didn't really happen. So anybody reading that Gemara wants to know, hey, you can't just do that. You can't just say that didn't happen. Pasuk says, Vayishkav, Vayelech Reuven, Vayishkav, as Bila Peleg Yeshaviv. How much more clear can you be? Vayishkav is Bila Peleg Yeshaviv. He slept with Bila Peleg Yeshaviv. So how can Chazal come along? Where did Chazal have the ability to come along and say it didn't really happen? It sounds like it happened, but it didn't really happen. So there's a sefer that we like to quote, Haktzava HaKabbalah, that says as follows. Chazal knew it didn't happen from two places. One, listen to the pasuk. We just said a word. I didn't focus on it, but I said a word that was the eye-opener for Chazal, that when they saw that word, they knew something funny was going on. Because it says, V'hi b'shko yisro b'eretz ahi, v'yelech Reuven. Yishkav is Bila Peleg Yeshaviv. Reuven went, and he slept with Bila Peleg Yeshaviv. If it was really that he really slept and was intimate with Bila, it wouldn't have said Vayelech, it would have said Vayavo. Because if it was intimacy, always is Lashon Bia, Vayavo, from something to public, and you go into a private place. So Bia is always for a Lashon of privacy, and Halicha is a Lashon of publicity. So the fact that they use the term, that the Pasuk used the term Vayelech Reuven, already puts up a red flag. What? That's not the way we talk when we talk about real intimacy. We don't talk about Vayelech, we talk about Vayavo. Besides the fact, another point, is that it says Vayishkav es Bila. It shouldn't have said es, it should have said im. So those two words, the fact that it said es, and the fact that it said Vayelech, instead of saying Vayavo and im, it was telling Chazal there's something else that was happening. And the Haktav HaKabbalah has a whole mahalach that we'll discuss at a different time, but that's how they knew that it wasn't what it looks like. Because if you just look at the pasuk with a fresh set of eyes and you compare it to other psukim that talk about intimacy, it's clear that this is not really what took place, because we wouldn't use the Lashon Vayelech. So therefore, in this week's parasha, we're a little surprised. And it's not the only makah, but certainly here it's important to understand that it says Bo al Paro. Why does it say Bo al Paro? It should say Lech al Paro. Go, Moshe was in his house, wherever he was, and he says, go to Paro, go to the place where you'll be seen. You have to speak to Paro. Why Lashon Bo? So Rav Shimshon Ashkepoler, Hashem Yinakim Damo, writes as follows, writes that there was a very important reason why Hashem used the term Bo in the parasha, Bo El Paro. And there's another interesting thing that he says, I'll explain, where he says, L'man Shisi Oso Sa'ele, I'll place my sign. It's a funny thing, signs. I would have chosen the term L'man Shisi Magefo Sa'i. Like it says that Hashem says about Makas Bechoros, I'm going to bring one more nega, Magefo. But what Oso Sa'i is like a funny term. I'm going to bring my signs. A little bit funny. So he has a very interesting yesod, and that is that we know that the letters of the Aleph Beis are broken down into different categories in terms of how they're expressed through our communicable kochos. There's something called the guttural letters. That's what we call the Acha, Aleph Ches Hey Ayin. And that's why we find throughout Torah, Rashi is always talking about letters that are interchanged. That the Aleph, the Ches, the Hey, and the Ayin, they're interchanged. matter of fact, Rashi in the beginning of Masechta Pesachim, it's coming up, I know Purim's first, but I think a lot of the Olam is learning Masechta Pesachim with the Daf. I happen to have just been that Daf a few weeks ago. It says, Ach Bayom Arishon, Rashi, but he says, Ach is a letter that the reason why we know that the time to burn the Chametz is by Chatzos, because Ach in itself uses that the letters can be interchanged. The Aleph can be a Ches, because they both come from the garble sound, Ach, Ah, and Cha, the Aleph and the Ches. And the Chof, and the Tzad, and the Chof, what is it? The Chof and the Tzadi? That doesn't sound so good. Ach and Chof. I think somehow Rashi learned that it's a Lashon Chetz. It's another, somehow some method of changing the Chof and the Tzadi. Either way, we have these different letters then come from different parts of the mouth, the throat. So the Aleph Ches Hey Ayin can be interchanged. And we have letters where we use the teeth, like the letter Sin. Sin. Try to say the letter Sin without your teeth. Sin. Without your teeth together, you can't do it. Or can you? Can you say the letter Sin without your teeth coming together? I see everybody making funny faces. I don't think it's possible, right? So the Sin and the Samach, they're also interchangeable. And other letters are, and we have letters that are called lip letters, the Sfasayim, Bumaf, Beis, Vav, Mem, Pei, are also interchangeable. Beis, Mem, Fei, those are letters that are used. So we have different letters that are interchangeable. So that Rav Shimshon writes, amazing, Rav Shimshon writes, that Bo'al Paro means if you take the Beis, and you use the Beis instead of the Pei in the word Paro. Because Pei and Beis can be interchanged, can be substituted. The Pei of Paro should be released, and we should put the Beis instead of the Pei. And if you take the Ayin from the name Paro, and you put the Aleph instead of Paro, so you end up with the letters for Arba. Let's go over that again. Bo El Paro. Bo. Take the letters Beis Aleph and place them in the name Paro. So where would I place them? I take the Ayin and I plus an Aleph instead of the Ayin. I take out the Pei and I put the Beis instead of the Pei. Bo El Paro. If you take the word Bo and I place it in the name Paro and I take out the Pei and the Ayin, I have the letters Beis Reish Aleph Hei, which spells out Arba. And that's how he explains the end of the pasuk. It says, "Leman shisi ososai ela." I will place my letters, bikirbo, in Paro. The bo el Paro, leman shisi ososai ela. That's why I use the term ososai, not magiposai. I will place, of course, the pasuk shad. It means I'll do makos. I'm going to do my makos now. But it also means I will place my letters in him, literally in Paro, in order to be able to create the Makas Arba, which is another way of saying that Hashem was hinting to Moshe that I'm not going to tell you what the Mak is straight out, but you should know I'm giving you a hint how. But he doesn't say Lech. Lech, it wouldn't work. Bo, take the letters Bo, put them into the name Paro, and you'll have the letters Arba. You'll figure it out. Laman Chisi Ososai, these letters I'm going to place inside the name Paro to make Arba. And that in itself is already something that's exciting to, if you know, some people would find that very exciting. You know, it's better than just a gematria, I think, right? Laman Chisi Ososai Ela Bekirbo. And that's what you have to tell your children. What are you telling your children? This nice Var Torah, it's a nice Vart. You're telling them the nice Vertel. Tell this to a Brisk, he'll throw you out of the base medrash. You know, they're not into this. So what's the, you have to say, we have to do a little bit better than this. We have to do a little bit more. Chas v'shal, I'm not saying Rav Shamshin, you should, I'm saying a Brisk won't go for this. So we have to add a little bit to the Var Torah. So we're going to add as follows. How did Moshe know that it was Arba? It's not my question. Rav Simcha Bura Mipshuska asked the question. How does Moshe know? He never said Arba. So what do you mean he knows? Because he saw if Rav Shamshin knew this Torah, then Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Torah too. He knew it. So then the question is, but why didn't Hashem just say it straight? He said everything else straight. Bring Dever, bring whatever. Not every Makkah in the Torah that we have Hashem telling the Makkah to Moshe. So we know. So he told them all to Moshe, but Moshe, you know, it was not always recorded in the Torah, but here it's recorded that Hashem spoke to Moshe pre the bringing of the Makkah, and yet he doesn't tell him what it is. So in this case, he actually did not tell him the Makkah. He just gave him a hint. So what are you giving me a hint for? Tell me the Makkah. They're playing games. We have to get busy. We have a lot to do. We have to leave Mitzrayim. We got to bring three more Makkos. We got to bring Karban Pesach. Who has time for hints? So Rav Simcha Bona Mitriska says something that's incredible. What he writes, that Makkas Arba was the Makkah where Hashem told Moshe, this is brought down in a sefer called Kol Simcha. In the Kol Simcha, he writes, Hashem told Moshe, listen, I'm going to say this in my words, not the way, but basically what Rav Simcha Bunim writes. He says, listen, Moshe, for the last year or so, I've been doing everything. You know, every Makkah I come up with, you know, it's not so easy to come up with Makkas, you know. You know, you gotta come up with some good stuff. Dam Tzardeya. Who would come up with Kinim, Orov? Hashem says to Moshe, this Makkah, I'm gonna leave it up to you. You choose the Makkah. Hashem gives Moshe almost the free rein to determine what should be the next Makkah. That's what the Kol Simcha writes. That's why you don't have him telling him that it's Arba. So Moshe says, okay, that's interesting. You know, what would you do if Hashem told you? Imagine when Hashem came to us and says, listen, I did seven. I'm going to do the last two, but the eighth one, I'm going to leave to you. Pick something, whatever you want. You know, go ahead, come up with something. What would we come up with? You know, locusts. I definitely would not come up with locusts. Who come up with locusts? Moshe comes up with locusts. Why? Well, he finds this remez, but what's special about locusts? What's unique about locusts? It's funny. So in Sefer Mishlei, it's brought down in all the Svarim that talk about Makkas Arba. Shlomo HaMelech says something interesting about the locusts. It's hard to know what this means exactly, but we'll try to explain a little bit. That there's no Melech, ain Melech la'arba. Locusts don't have a king. But, you know, you have a, I would imagine what this means in the world of Metzius is that, you know, you have a lion, you know, pride. So there's one lion that's the king of that lion. The lion's the king of the jungle, but there's one lion within the pride that's the guy you don't mess with. You know, the rams are always banging heads in order to determine who's the head of this area, who's the head of this pride. You know, the tigers are fighting in order to gain control over a certain area in the jungle. Now, look, there's no king by Arba. What does it mean that there's no king? The Maharal talks about this. The Maharal says, what does it mean that the Arba has no king? Arba represents a multitude of details of millions and who knows, billions of these little locusts. And there is no unifying force. Every little locust is out for themselves to get the next produce, to get the next grain that they can chop from the ground. There's no Arba, when it says there's no king, when something has no king, it means that there's no unifying force. Everybody's basically out for themselves. The king, what a king is supposed to bring to a nation is that the nation, even though each person, each family is focused on helping their own particular family, supporting their own family, but the king represents a certain idea or a certain unifying force where we're not just out for ourselves, we're out, We're also focused on the country. We're focused on this unifying force, the lev. The Rambam calls the king the lev of the people. The lev, a person has one heart. The lev represents what's a person's unifying force. Arba means, in the makla form, in a negative form, means an enormous amount of detail without any common purpose or force. That's what it means. Ein melech la'arba. Now, it's interesting that already in Makas Arba, I don't think you find this by other Makos. You find this by Barad Arba. You don't find this by other Makos. Already in Makas Arba, we can already feel Makas Choshech coming. Have you noticed that? You do the Parsha. Already in Makas Arba, you have the Pasuk Hey, the Chisa Asein Haaretz, Lo Yichal, the Rosh Haaretz. Already you see in Makas Arba, the Choshech is right around the corner. The Arba is blocking off the sun. It creates a darkness already. It creates a darkness. Furthermore, the Pasuk says, in Makas Arba, if you take a look in Pasuk Tezvav, Vayechas es ein kol ha'aretz, v'techshach ha'aretz, the land becomes dark. Already in Arba, you can feel Choshech is right around the corner. What does that mean? When a person lives a life without any unifying theme or purpose, or a nation is a bunch of people who are out only for themselves without rallying around one unifying purpose, without a goal, the nation's goal. So then that leads to Makas Choshech, which tells us, what's the thing we know about Makas Choshech? Lo ro ish es achiv, that one person doesn't see the other. Everybody's basically out for themselves. Arbe, which is a multitude of detail without any unifying theme, leads to Choshech, which is lo ro ish es achiv. So there's this negative force called Arbe, which means enormous amount of detail, enormous amount of locust, without any purpose, just, you know, whatever happens next happens. I'm not leading towards any purpose in my life. It's just, whatever comes next is what I'll do. On the other hand, what Arba can also lead to, what multitude of detail can lead to, if used in the right way with a unifying force, then what happens in Makas Choshech is the positive result of many, many different details rallying around a unifying force. And that leads to L'chol B'nei Yisrael Haya Arba Moshevosam. Either it leads to Lo Ro Ish Esachav, tremendous darkness. Either Arba leads to tremendous darkness that one person cannot see in front of his nose, or it leads to an enormous amount of light. It depends. So what do we know about Arba? What we know about Arba is something very interesting. How many Arba were there? What does the word Arba mean? I would ask you, what does the word Arba mean? Locusts. How many locusts? A lot of locusts. A lot. How many? I don't know. Millions, billions. No, it would be with reboy. The word Arba means I will increase. Tremendous amount of locusts there must have been. So the word Arba means an enormous amount, multitude of these little locusts. At the same time, we'll find something very interesting. In Pasuk Yud Tes Perek Yud, the Pasuk says that when the Arba left, Vayafach Hashem Ruach Yom Chazok Ma'od, Hashem sent the west, a very strong wind from the west, Vayisa Es Ha'arba, and it carried the Arba, Vayitko'ehu Yom Asuf, it blew them in to the Yom Suf, Lo Nishar Arba Echad B'chol Gvul Mitzrayim. The term Arba here doesn't just mean many, here it means one. It's so interesting. The same word that means many also means one. It would be in English, it would be similar to the word to the word deer, let's say. I mean, there's so many words like this, deer. You don't say many deers, you say many deer. And one deer. I saw a deer, I saw many deer. Arba is the same concept. The word Arba means many, it also means one. What happens is as follows. We'll try to pull this some of these ideas together. Let's go back. Hashem says to Moshe, come to Paro. Why Bo? I'm giving you a little hint here. What's the hint? Bo El Paro, if you use the letters Bo, you put them in the name Paro, you'll find something interesting. But I'm not going to tell you straight. Hashem looks around, and Moshe says, okay, Hashem's given me permission. Rav Simcha Bonum writes, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu permission to make the makkah himself. Moshe comes up with Arba. Rav Simcha Bonum writes, Moshe came up with Arba on his own. Now, Rav Simcha Bonum Yipshischa is the father of Ger Chasidus. Ger comes from, and Kutsk and Alexander, they come from the line that we call Pshischa. The Yirah Kodesh, which comes from the Chayzer from Ulbin, of course, the Chassidus, it always goes back to the Magid Mizrich and then the Baal Shem Tov. But the Gera Rebbe, that's the Imre Emes, writes, based on what the Kol Simcha wrote, that the Yisod of Arbe, of Hashem telling Moshe, I'm not going to tell you what Makkah to bring. You come up with it on your own. And then Moshe comes up with Arbe. That is the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a remez, or it's a root of Torah Shebaal Peh. When Moshe brought that makkah on his own, that he came up with on his own, Hashem said, I want you to pick this. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You do it on your own. That's the root of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a ke'ein Torah Shebaal Peh. That Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, listen, I'm giving you a Torah, a written Torah, and I'm giving you some principles. Now it's your job to develop the Torah. That's what we call Torah Shebaal Peh. As long as you stay within the gvul of the yuga, as long as you use my rules, you can do whatever you want. You have tremendous flexibility in Torah Shebaal Peh. Isn't it interesting that the Arba, all this tremendous multitude of detail, all these little locusts have to stay in the gvul. So Hashem says to the Jewish people, listen, Imre Yemes explains, the third Gera Rebbe explains, listen, is the son of the Sfas Emes, that's the great grandson of the Chiddush Rebbe, the first Gera Rebbe, explains that Rav Simcha Bonum is teaching us that Arbe is the beginning or the root, or it's a hint to Torah Shebaal Peh, where Hashem doesn't tell us explicitly how we should darshan the Torah. That's up to the Chachmei HaTorah, the Chachmei HaMesorah. So it's our job to stay within the gvul of Torah. We can't do whatever we want. We can't just make up rules. But if you stay within the gvul of the principles that Hashem laid out for us, we have fantastic flexibility. That's called Torah Shebaal Peh. And the most amazing thing takes place in this parasha. It's just incredible. If you just read the psukim, Hashem says to Moshe, all right, this makkah is yours. Moshe comes up with Arba. And then in Pasuk Yud Beis, amazing thing takes place. Let's read the Pasuk together. Hashem says to Moshe, Nete yodcha al eretz Mitzrayim ba'arba. Stretch out your hand over Mitzrayim and bring out Arba. Isn't that incredible? Hashem tells Moshe, you develop this makkah. Moshe says, okay, he goes and warns Paro, he's going to bring Arba. And what does Hashem say a few psukim later? Okay, you chose Arba, I'll tell you to bring Arba. That's exactly what happens with Torah Shebaal Peh. The Chachmei HaTorah, the Chachmei HaMesorah, darshan the Torah. And then that becomes incorporated into the Dvar Hashem. We come along and we darshan a Gzeres Shaveh, we darshan a Kal V'Chomer, we darshan something from the Yugal Mamidos, a Riboy, a Miut, and Hashem says, okay, that's Torah. That becomes part of Torah. That's what happens in Arba. That's exactly what this Mach is coming to say. Now, if we have tremendous amount of flexibility and multitude, so if we don't rally around one principle, then that just ends up with many details. Ein melech la'arba, that's tremendous darkness. When people have many, many different approaches without rallying around one theme, principle, goal, so then it just leads to tremendous, unbelievable machlokas. And without any light, only leads to darkness. Everybody's just out for their own purpose to say that they're right. However, when Arba is used for the Kolach HaTov, i.e., Torah Shebal Peh. So then what you end up with is tremendous amount of flexibility. You have many, many positions in Chazal. You have sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8-way machlokas Tanoim. But it's okay. They all are there for the same purpose, to determine what the Dvar Hashem is. And each person has a right. If you're Chachmei HaMasorah, you're on that level to Darshan Torah, then everybody's correct. That's what we call Eilav Eilav Reklam Chaim. The Gemara in Chagiga says, it's not a problem. You can have many different positions. You might think that it looks like many Torahs. So the pasuk says, "Kulam nitnu miro echad." They're all given from the same shepherd. It all goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. It all goes back to Dvar Hashem. If we have many different ways and angles and perspectives of looking at Torah, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. That's all okay. That's all beautiful. It actually adds to the multitude, so long as the arba that's many comes back to arba echad. That's Torah. That leads to tremendous light. From there, you end up with l'chol b'nei Yisrael hayu arba Moshe v'sam. When you have chachamim arguing in Torah and coming up with different perspective of explaining a certain halacha, but they're doing it for the same purpose. They're doing it to serve Hashem, to learn His Torah. So then that becomes elav. There's no greater simcha than that. That's the arba that leads to or. If everybody's out for themselves just to prove that they're right, but it's not to it's not to try to figure out what the real Dvar Hashem is, and each one will have their own perspective. Rav Shechta always explains, you and I could be looking at the same house, but you're looking from the west, and I'm looking from the north. So if someone were to ask you, okay, now draw a picture of the house, we would draw two different, completely different pictures. We would have two different, completely different perspectives, but they're both correct, depending upon that. See, no one can have the full perspective as a human being. Only Hashem has that perspective. So He can say, your perspective's right. You're looking at it from the east. That's exactly correct. That's how I would draw the house too. And if you're looking at it from the north, I would draw the same way that you're drawing. You look at the two pictures, they're very different. But kulam nitnim, the different perspectives, trying to look at the Dvar Hashem. That's all correct. Something wrong with that. When you have many positions, but the goal is not to uncover and try to figure, to explain, or as much as humanly possible, to explain the Dvar Hashem. If people are just arguing with the face for the sake of argument, it leads to darkness. But Arba has the koach inside. That maka also, light in the maka, the koach of Torah Shebal Peh, where the Arba, which means many, 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 many different details, but coming back to Arba Echad, to one principle, to serving Hashem, the one God, then it leads to tremendous, tremendous light. And by the way, it's not surprising at all. The Torah Shebal Peh is part of Torah. That when the Chachamim, 1,000 years after the Torah is given, darshan a new drasha that did not exist before that. There's a sefer that explains, I think it's from the Chidah. At this moment, I forget the name of the sefer, but the Chidah writes that when Chazal darshaned that a Moaviyah can marry in to the Jewish people, but someone from Moab cannot. Lo yovo amori u'moavi b'kal Hashem arolo. That someone who's a Moavi, from the Moavi nation, who converts to Yiddishkeit, converts to Yadus, and now he wants to marry a regular, nice Jewish girl, can't do it. Can never marry in. Lo yovo amori Moavi b'kal Hashem arolo. During the time of David HaMelech, they darshened, or during even before David HaMelech, the time of Rus, they darshened, how can Rus marry Boaz? How can Rus marry Boaz? She's a Moaviyah. So what was the answer? La yavo amoni Moavi, Moavi v'lo Moaviyah. So the shaila is, what about last year before they made that drasha? What was the halacha the year before they made that drasha? Was it true that Moavi v'lo Moaviyah, let's say a Moaviyah would have married in? Would it be that when they made the drasha, that was always the truth from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was always Moavi v'lo Moaviyah. But Rav Shechta likes to explain, no. Up until they darshaned it, the halacha was that a Moavi could not marry in and a Moaviyah could not marry in. But they felt that it was important at that period of history to darshan Moavi v'lo Moaviyah. So that year was the first time ever in halacha that it was Moavi v'lo Moaviyah. That year, Moaviyah could marry in. But last year, Moaviyah, it's not that they darshaned that this was always the halacha, but we never knew it. that they darshan did at that moment. From now on, the halacha is ma'aviv lo ma'aviv. And then when Chazal do that, Hashem says, okay, that becomes Torah. That becomes incorporated into Torah. So Hashem says to Moshe, okay, you figure it out. Moshe says, okay, how about Arba? Arba is if you want me to figure out, that means you're teaching me something about Torah Shebal Peh. Because I know I'm going to receive the Torah, bring it down to the Jewish people. There's going to be something called Torah Shebal Peh. So if you're telling me that you want me to work on this, it means this is an Indian of Torah Shebal Peh. So I'll figure it out. And then Hashem says, bring the Arba. You did a good job. That's Torah Shebal Peh. I incorporated it into my word. That the Dvar of the Chachmei Mesorah becomes the Dvar Hashem. Becomes the Dvar Hashem. So the Arba, that means many, and the Arba Echad are the same. It's all one. It all comes back to the Dvar Hashem. Elu v'elu, divrei Elokim Chaim. That's exactly the Yisod of Makas Arba. And we have that in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav. The Gemara says, sometimes Chazal will make a drosha. Sometimes it's called the Yud Ches Dover. Most Rishonim say, unlike the Bali Atosus, the Yud Ches Dover doesn't just mean 18 enactments. It doesn't mean 18 Xeros. The Yud Ches Dover represents a certain category of Xeros. The Rambam says, anytime something's brought as a Siyog, now we have to figure out what's the difference between a Siyog and a Xera. Okay, that's not for now. And the Tosus of Rosh is anything that's in the world of Isra V'Hefter as opposed to Mamonis. Whatever it is, there are certain categories of Takanos and Xeros and Siyogim where Chazal make the Takana, even a greater Bezdin that comes along cannot be Mevatel that Takana. Afilu, the Gemara says, Afilu Yavo Eliyahu Ubezdino, that one of the Mevatel it, ain't Shominlo. Why? So the Svarim explain, because sometimes Chazal will make a Drasha and that becomes incorporated into the Torah itself. Once it becomes incorporated into the Torah itself, then it's untouchable. No one can be mevatel a pasuk in the Torah. You can't be mevatel a pasuk in the Torah. You can't be mevatel the takon of Chazal as well. It's incorporated into the Torah itself. That's exactly all of that entire Torah, that entire concept of Hashem telling the Chachamim, Hashem telling Klal Yisrael, go learn Torah, develop my Torah. Here are the principles. Stay within the gvulim. Stay within the boundaries. And go make a Gemara, make a Shas, make Darshan, learn. I want Elu ve'Elu. Let's develop the ideas. And if there's Machlokas Gesunt Eid, it all comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. It all comes from me, from Hashem. That's all in this Makkah. Hashem says to Moshe, make the Makkah. Moshe goes and makes the Makkah. Hashem says, okay, tell Paro, that's what I want you to do. And by the way, it's very interesting. Because the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah says, I think it's Daf Tezayin. You'll take a look. Rosh Hashanah says something in Gemara called something in Chazal called an Asmachta. Asmachta, something called an Asmachta. Sometimes it's an Asmachta, sometimes it's an Asmachta Ba'alma. And there might be a difference between the two. But what's an Asmachta? So the Rambam writes something. If I'm correct, I believe the Ritva says they're not allowed to say what the Rambam says. Can't say such a thing. But the Rambam says it, so we can say it. We don't have to worry about saying this. The Ritva says you shouldn't say it, but we can say it. What does the Rambam say? Rambam says, what's an asmachta? Chazal made a drasha. So they wanted us to remember the drasha. Let's say Chazal made a dindarabonon. So they made a dindarabonon. They want us to remember the dindarabonon. So how are you going to remember it? So people always learn Torah Shebichsav. So they came up with an asmachta. They said, we'll find this, if you look at the extra vav, or the reason why I use this word, that's how we know the takana. The Gemara says, are you saying it's Doraisa? The Gemara says, no, it's not Doraisa, it's Rabbanan. And the Kra, the posuk is an asmachta. The Rambam writes, what's an asmachta? It's a memory device. Chazal used the posuk in the Torah as a memory device. So when you get to that posuk, you remember, oh, that posuk is reminds us Chazal made a takana. Don't forget about takana's Chazal. The Ritva says that's not an asmachta. An asmachta is as follows. Hashem writes something in the Torah in a way that's not so clear. It's not so clear. But Hashem embedded something in the Torah. And he was hoping, I'm sure he knew, that sometime in the future, Chazal would look at those psukim and see something and give them the inspiration to make a certain takana. It's not that Chazal made a takana, and then they found a memory device. They found something, and they thought, oh, let's use that pasuk, and we'll remember the takana de Rabbanon. The Tfas says, that's not an asmachta, that's a joke. An asmachta is when Chazal look at something in the Torah and they see, oh, Hashem is talking to me. Hashem is talking to us. He's telling us through that remez, through the use of that word, through that ribui, through that miut, that we're supposed to make this din d'rabbanan, we're supposed to darshan this drasha. That it was a remez. Okay. That's exactly what happened here. We asked the question to begin. So Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to come up with the makkah. So, okay. So why give a hint? If you want to tell to Moshe, tell it to Moshe. If you don't want to tell to Moshe, what's the point of the hint? The answer is that Torah Sheval Peh is very much rooted. And even after Chazal made every takana and every gzeira and every siyag and every drasha, and go back and find some place in the Torah where Hashem was alluding to that. Hashem was alluding. He gave remuzim all around, alluding to that. From what I understand, I think the tradition is that the Vilna Gaon, towards the end of his life, only learned Chumash. He only learned Chumash. I'm sure you might have heard this. He learned Torah Shebichsav. But his Torah Shebichsav is that every time he came across a letter, an os, a crown, he was going through every area of Torah Shabbat Peh that expressed itself through that letter. Probably took him a while to get through the first pasuk, no? Because the Vilna Gaon said that every single mitzvah can be found in the first pasuk. I think it's somewhat famous where he wrote Bereishis. Someone said to the Gaon, come on, every single pasuk, what did it say Pidyon HaBen in the first pasuk? Because, and then the Vilna Gaon said, not just in the first pasuk, in the first word. Because where did it say Pidyon HaBen? It says Pidyon HaBen, Bereishis. Ben Rishon Achar Shloshim Yom Tifteh. Ben Rishon, Achar, Shloshim Yom, Tipodeh. Simple. So, I don't know. He didn't ask about Shiloh HaKad. I'm not sure what the Vilna Gaon would have said. I don't know. I wasn't there. But the point is that everything's in the Torah Shebichsav. So Hashem's hint, Rav Shamshin Ashtapola's hint, it's not, the reason why it's a hint is because Torah Shebichsav always has its root in Torah Shebichsav. It always has its roots in Torah Shebichsav. And that's why there's a hint, Arbe, Dafka Arbe. Boa paro, dafka aro, mashi si, oso se le begibo, because through the hint, Chazal had the inspiration to make, through the hint, Chazal had the inspiration to develop Parsha Balpa. And that's exactly all rooted in this week's Parsha, in Makis Arba Dafka. And by the way, when we continue to learn Parsha Balpa and develop Parsha Balpa, in the recognition that there'll be many, many different ways of coming to the halacha, many different ways of learning a Parsha, many different perspectives, but as long as we keep in mind, kulam nitnu meroa echad, that the arba of the multitude and the arba is also arba echad, that will lead fantastically to l'chol b'nei Yisrael ha'yar b'mosh v'osam. So Mitzvah Hashem will continue learning this week. Wish everyone a good Shabbos, and if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take them now.